Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Monday. Thanks for being with us. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. Let's get you caught up some things on my mind in the world of sports. The NFL topping it here in the middle of the day. The Atlanta Falcons are going to lose a draft pick and $350,000 for putting in artificial crowd noise. Artificial crowd noise that the Falcons, they're just horrible last year. And Mike Smith got fired. And somebody within the organization decided to pump in crowd noise. And they get fined and lose a draft pick. That's pretty significant when you think about it. If you're like, ah, draft pick, that's nothing. No, that's pretty significant. For screwing around off the field like that, because that really is the integrity of the game. Not that I think fans make that big a difference. It's fun to talk about. It's an easy narrative. Oh, my gosh, it's so loud in here. I don't know. It's kind of small market, small town. Been to enough sporting events. It's fine. In Seattle, I think that's different. But it doesn't matter. If you go into a lot of these stadiums, fans are going to be loud. You just have to deal with it. Ray Farmer was suspended by the Browns, or the NFL suspended him for 4 games for texting coaches during games. I think that story is actually kind of funny. Like, get your phone out, open it up, and say, are you effing kidding me? Exclamation point, send, right? You have got to be joking, exclamation point, send. Don't play him. I have $250,000 bonus due to him if he catches one more ball, send.
True story. My mom used to do that to my dad when my dad was coaching me.
Don't play Jared.
She would call him while he was on the sidelines. Now, granted, this is middle school, elementary school basketball, and not
a little different.
Not NFL, but
yeah.
My dad would show her that he was turning off his phone after every game after that because of that instance.
What was she telling him to do?
Run a certain play.
Get out of here. Are you serious?
Sub someone in. She wouldn't text him.
She was crazy mom?
She could be crazy mom.
She was crazy mom?
Yeah.
Wow.
So my dad's response would be, do you want to come coach with me?
Yeah.
Do you want to do that? And she'd always be like, no.
That's funny.
That's a good family story to add into your...
No, I like that. You know, texting on the sidelines. Guys, technology is going to overtake. There will be something else that comes along. You and Kyle were geeking out on something on Friday night.
Yeah, Meerkat.
Yeah. Now, I've seen Meerkat and Periscope and all that stuff. Uh-huh. We're thinking about using it.
Yeah, if U of A made it to the Final Four, I was going to try to use a lot of Meerkat.
That's cool.
In Indy, unfortunately, so we'll have to find something else to use it with.
No.
But it's really cool. It's really interesting.
We're all about the technology side of this. Like, guest on the phone, we try to do that less and less because that's just going to give away, you know, to something else. And there's so much technology out there, and the NFL's not going to be able to keep up with it. They're just not. I thought Peter King had a good column today on the rule change of getting rid of the extra point. Jared, are you like me? When the extra point comes along in the NFL, I'm done, I'm out, I've got to go make a sandwich, use the bathroom, do whatever. I don't sit around and watch those.
No, I don't either. I mean, it's just to be expected. The only time this extra point comes into play is when you miss one, and you're like, what just happened?
So the current system of scoring, Peter wrote this today, the current system of scoring was invented in college football in 1912. So we're using a 1912 rule, 103 years old, 6 points for a touchdown, 1 for an extra point, 2 for a safety, 3 for a field goal. 2-point conversion was added in 1994. Now people want to get rid of the point after attempt. There are many different choices that they're going to vote on in May. But they've got to get 24 votes in order to push this through. So Peter floated this out. Peter floats out a lot of stuff because everybody in the NFL reads his column. The most likely compromise to be advanced and the most likely way the league will amend how teams can score after a touchdown. Okay, so let's go through some of these. Teams will have a choice whether to go for 1 or 2 points after a touchdown from different distances. Okay, I'm fine with that. Offensive team chooses to kick for a point. Scrimmage line will move from the 2 to the 15. So that makes it about a 33-yard field goal. That's not a given. It's close, but it's not a given. If the offensive team chooses to go for 2, the scrimmage would be either the 1.5 or the 2-yard line. Much debate about making it the 1, the 1.5 or the 2. The feeling about putting it on the 1 was that it could turn into too much of a scrum push the pile play, or a puncture the goal line with the ball and bring it back play by the quarterback. Meaning he'd jump up and just put the ball over and that's it. Putting it to 1.5 or leaving it at the 2 would increase the chances of a real football play with some drama. They're also talking about the defensive team would be able to score 2 points by either blocking the PAT and returning it to the end zone. Because we see this on the extra points. Guys will just kind of lean forward and that's it. They're just trying not to get hurt.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What is the logic period on having an extra point or an extra play? You don't see that in any other sport. You score a goal, that's your point. You
make 1912. I may be old. I'm like, not that old. I can't tell you. Okay. I wasn't there with the forefathers. Well, maybe, what are you, nuts?
Well, maybe you have some more football background than I do, but I just don't even understand the need for it. You know, if you're going to
more scoring.
It is more scoring, but why?
Like, I need my kickers to be important. This would be great for fantasy football.
And that was going to be my thing. Like, do they need to make kickers more relevant in a game by having extra points? Because you could potentially not even use them at all other than on kickoff.
What do the gamblers in Vegas? Because ultimately, everything in sports goes back to the gamblers in Vegas.
Sure.
It does. It does. This day and age and notion that it's just fun to watch football. No, everybody's betting on it, whether it's fantasy football or whatever. So if it's a 33-yard extra point, I said that that makes it a little bit more challenging, and I do believe it does. If it's a rainy, wet, nasty field, if it's a field that's not in great shape, whatever the reason, there's a little bit more to it. I don't know if I'm still going to stick around, you know?
You know what? How you'll stick around is if they get those crazy revolving goalposts, moving goalposts,
sure,
like in arcade games. That's when you'll make it. That's when you'll watch. That's when you'll keep tabs on it because it becomes a video game.
You light a bonfire around the kicker. If he steps too far, he burns himself. I'll watch, you know? Anything with a bonfire, I'll, you know. The Final Four is set, and I will watch Kentucky and Wisconsin, Duke and Michigan State. Of those four teams, I really like the job that Tom Izzo's done. Tom Izzo was a seventh seed. Every year, Tom Izzo, it's like clockwork. If you're making a bracket, you must put Tom Izzo in the Final Four. It's kind of why I'd like to see Ray Anderson go explore Dane Fife, who's the lead assistant on Tom Izzo's staff. And I had some basketball people tell me that's a name to keep an eye on, whether it's here at ASU or for other people nationally. For U of A to be eliminated, they just got beat by a better team. That's it. It's had nothing to do with the refs. Please don't waste my time or your time thinking that there was a conspiracy theory. You just got beat by a better team. That's it. Here is TJ McConnell. It was the final game of TJ McConnell on the basketball court. TJ McConnell, in my opinion, was clearly the MVP of that team. And he and Sean Miller had a moment after he fouled out.
I just came off the floor and apologized that I couldn't get him to a Final Four. So, I mean, that guy right there is like my dad. So I just, you know, felt down that I couldn't get him there.
Okay, so, and Eric was out in Los Angeles and has much more of that. You can see more reaction on sports360az.com. He'll be a future coach. He may even down the road be a guy that coaches at U of A because he is so beloved and endeared down there. There's no other way to put it. Here is Bo Ryan, the head coach of Wisconsin. They went crazy. They hit 10 of 12 three-pointers, and that's why U of A is home and why Wisconsin is going on to Indianapolis.
I know it's hard for somebody like me to be speechless, but the way we shot the ball in the second half and to win by the margin that we did, we were very fortunate. Arizona played hard, played well, played smart.
Yeah, and Sean went 34-4. That is truly amazing. And you can go back and say, well, if he would have gone 35. He would have won 35 games, 36 games. He hadn't lost to ASU. That maybe they could have had a number one seed. That's fine to talk about on Monday morning after you lost in the Elite Eight, but you know what? There's no guarantee that they should have been a number. They would have got a number one if they hadn't lost to ASU. There's no guarantee on that. People may think they know that to be fact. Doesn't mean it is. The Suns last night, it was a microcosm of their season. In the last week, they have fabulously flopped. There's no other way to put it. They have belly flopped in the biggest way. And when I have people last night, because I put up on Twitter about the Suns game, ... people are going after Hornacek. You can't go after Jeff when you don't have a lot of talent on the floor. The Suns had the ball. Markieff Morris has the ball in the low post. I think they were down 8 late in the game. Jared, did you see the end of the game last night? Did you watch any of that?
No, I missed.
You didn't miss anything.
I actually was watching when they were up big. I think I might have been their jinx because they looked pretty good, and all of a sudden I look at the final score and they lost.
Yeah, you didn't miss anything. Other than Markieff, famously, as he's done in his time here in Phoenix, dribbles ball off his leg and out of bounds and just kind of runs back down the court like, hey, happens. And, you know, you hear these poor guys trying to explain how it is that they blow against teams that they should beat. This was embarrassing last night. 20-point loss to a team that you were up on. And do you want to blame the coach? Sure, I get it. And Jeff said afterwards, we just folded. Jeff's tried every quote imaginable. And here's the hard part for Jeff. Jeff's going to be coming into the final year of his deal next year. And if they keep this current cast of characters together, you know, it's just a bad combination. It's just a bad, bad combination. The story of the day, and Eric and I are going to go up to NAU tomorrow to do a story too of the day. We've got a really cool story tomorrow night that we're going to go shoot after we do the show. But the best story today, I think, is over. No, I know it to be over at the Coyotes Arena tonight. It's in Glendale. Buffalo is here in town. The Coyotes and Buffalo have the two worst records. When they met one another last week, the fans for Buffalo were cheering the Coyotes when the Coyotes would score. When the Coyotes scored in overtime at Buffalo, it sounded like the Coyotes had just won the Stanley Cup. They were thrilled. So tonight is Turnabout Fair Play. Are the Coyote fans, all five of them that are going to go tonight? Because I've kicked around the idea. I still may do it. I got a lot on my plate today. I may go over there and just go to the upper deck, snap a picture, and it'll look like a junior hockey game. There'll be nobody there tonight. These teams are terrible. But will there be some Coyote fans that have the jersey of the two top pick players sewed in on the back of their jersey? Will the fans understand that if they win tonight, it's really bad? It's a cool little story tonight, Coyotes and Buffalo. Pretty simple to sit behind the desk and say, here's what's going on in the NFL today, and here's some Diamondback highlights, and by the way, the Suns blow and they play at Portland, and that's my sportscast. Or go out to the arena, and here's the magnitude of the story. Who would not want to see the Coyotes lose again tonight? They're doing very well at losing this year. I love that story.
The only team that's done this right is the Mercury.
And they ended up with Brittany Griner. Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks have the number one overall pick.
Yeah, but they haven't turned it into a championship yet.
Well, but
the Mercury got Brittany Griner and turned it into a championship.
Well, I see what you're saying that. But of the majors in town, okay? Of the majors in town, the Coyotes need to lose tonight. Just blow. Blow like you haven't blown this year. It's fine. We're not going to rip you tomorrow because most people don't care. Sports360AZ.com. On the other side, George Raveling will be with us. The Hall of Fame coach, George Raveling, formerly at USC, Washington State. He's Iowa, too. He's going to the Basketball Hall of Fame. Wanted to have George on. He's the director of international basketball for Nike. There's guys who know where the bodies are buried and know why programs don't do well. I want to talk to him about why Arizona State basketball has been mired in mediocrity for 20-plus years. If it's a good job or bad job, and who are some names? And much more with George Raveling. That's next. I'm Brad Sussmat.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
This was last week. Jerry Colangelo came on the show to talk about Steve Nash, and I hosted Jerry's show for many, many years. And the thing that I've liked about Jerry through the years here in Arizona is his wide connection and his wide web of people. When Dan Marley took over at Grand Canyon University, I saw George Raveling on campus one day at a game. He walked in, and I'm thinking, okay, they're going to turn this thing upside down on its ear, and they're already heading in that direction. Coach Raveling, I covered when I was over in Southern California for many, many years on the radio side when he was at USC. He has a terrific website, CoachGeorgeRaveling.com, and you can follow him on Twitter, at George Raveling, Nike Director of International Basketball. And he's going into the Basketball Hall of Fame. Congratulations on that, George. I know for the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame, you're going in September. That's great. Appreciate you coming on the show for a couple of minutes.
Well, thank you for having me on.
George,
you just mentioned two of my favorite people, Dan Marley and Jerry Colangelo.
They're not bad. And I think Dan's getting it done over here, George.
Yep. I tease him because Dan was on the 88 Olympic team, but John Thompson, and I was John's assistant on there And there was actually a number of times during the competition where we played Dan as a point guard. We discovered along the way that he could play the point in an emergency. And so I always tease him. I say, I'm one of the few guys that know you could play the point.
He's got some help at point guard now. He didn't have that in year one. I think they're heading in the right direction over at GCU without a doubt. George, I want to... You're right about that. Wanted to have you on to talk about a number of things in the world of college basketball. First, your thoughts on this Final Four. There's the debate that this is the most compelling Final Four. We've heard that time and time again. Do you buy into these Final Four teams the most compelling tournament ever?
I don't know if it's ever. I'd have to spend a little time thinking about it. But I think that it's certainly supremely competitive. If you look at data, you'd have to say that Kentucky is the overwhelming favorite. But when you get to this point in the competition, things become marginalized. I would put huge money on this on Vegas that all four coaches 10 years from now will be Hall of Famers. Krzyzewski already is. The other three guys will all end up being Hall of Famers for their contribution to the game. God, there's so many storylines around the competition in this game. You got one team that no one ever expected, including themselves, to be there, and that's by Izzo's own admission. You got two guys who took bunch of young kids, Krzyzewski and Calipari, and weave them into a really tremendous basketball teams. And the guy at Marquette is just an extraordinary coach. I mean,
you there, George?
Yeah, I'm here.
I lost you there for a second. You're talking about the Final Four coaches at Wisconsin, Bo Ryan.
Yeah, the guy's an extraordinary coach. What he's done there, in some ways, it borders on the extraordinary. They're from a basketball IQ standpoint, they take a backseat to nobody. They're a team that really understands how to maximize each possession offensively and defensively. I think they're a much better defensive team than they get credit for. And they're a hard team to guard.
George Raveling with us for a couple of minutes with Brad Susmat going into the Basketball Hall of Fame in September, the Nike Director of International Basketball, georgeraveling.com, and at George Raveling over on Twitter. George, in this state, U of A has had their dominance. Sean gets to the Elite Eight this year. But the Pac-12 hasn't seen a Final Four team since 2006. That's a long, long stretch. What's going on in the Pac-12 where they're not able to get that far? I'm not asking for wooden runs, you know. It's just that the conference itself, have they fallen behind some other conferences in basketball from your view?
Top to bottom, I would suggest that what you say is true, that they don't have the overall conference balance that they've had in years gone by. I certainly, in my mind, see Arizona this year as a Final Four quality team. But we need four or five other teams that are going to be equally competitive. The unfortunate part of the Pac-12 is that unless Arizona and UCLA are in the top 10, then people tend to devalue the conference. The conference had a hell of a run this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Utah certainly represented themselves well. UCLA came on at the right time. Arizona was a given. But we need to get back, because certainly have a long heritage in the conference back to when it was only eight teams in there. we need to to get back to where we have six or seven teams every single year that are ranked in the top 25. Oregon came on and represented themselves really well. So the conference isn't as weak as we think it is, but it isn't strong as it should be.
Do the ACC, Big Ten have advantages outside? I just look at the television contract, Pac-12 Network, not on DirecTV. That can't be the only reason to not be able to attract the star players year in and year out.
I think the conference gets its fair share of outstanding players. I think one thing that will always hurt the conference is that the time zone. We're in the poorest time zone from a media standpoint of any major conference in the Power Five. And when you're doing a 7 o'clock tip in the Pac-12, it's 10 o'clock at night. So the television viewer has to have a compelling reason. Why am I going to stay up at 10 o'clock to watch this game?
Right.
And so I think that hurts him a lot of times. I think it's definitely television scheduling has definitely hurt the Pac-12 in attendance. If you go through and you look at the attendance the last 2 years in the Pac-12, there's a decline in attendance, even at UCLA. And there are less and less sellouts every year now. And I think part of it has to do with start times and that. For example, if you've got a 6 o'clock or 6:30 tip at UCLA, when the game tips off, the arena's only going to be half full.
Right.
Because people have to navigate through intense traffic in L.A. to get there. And it really forces people to make a difficult decision about attending the games. And so if you were to go and look at the stats, this is the second year in a row that the Pac-12 has shown a decline in game attendance.
Interesting. And I mean, in a college town like Tucson, it's not a factor, but in major metropolitan cities, obviously it is. The Arizona State coaching job, is it a good job? Is it a mirage? What's because it's Bill Frieder to Rob Evans to Herb Sendek. They come here as coach of the year in their previous conference. They leave here chewed up, spit out, worn down, beaten up, from my view, George. I mean, what's your view of ASU's job that's open right now?
I think it's a good job. It's a great job. You're in a state that doesn't turn out large chunks of talent, although I think high school basketball in Arizona, particularly in the greater Phoenix area, is really on the upscale. And that I think to win at Arizona State consistently, you've got to recruit nationally and attract players from all over the country, only because the you have a small pool in the state, and then everybody in the conference is recruiting the hell out of California. So you've got to broaden your base. When I went to Washington State, when I know that was many moons ago, shortly after I got the job, a guy named Ray Nagel was the AD. So I said, Ray, why did you hire me? And he said, I felt that what we needed was someone who could attract good players here. We didn't need a great coach. We need a great recruiter. And that, so, you know, I could have certainly been sensitive and felt a little hurt about it. But when I look back on it, I think ASU is the same thing. They fired a coach's coach. I don't know anybody who's going to be smarter than Herb was.
Mm-hmm.
But what they probably need is someone who can consistently attract players to Arizona State and tell a compelling story. At the end of the day, you've got to have a quality talent and they're on a consistent basis. And then once you get those players, now you got to sustain the program over a long period of time. he beat Arizona back 2 years in a row. So, I mean, he did some good things, but at the end of the day, you've got to have really good players. And the only way I think they're gonna be able to sustain it over a consistent basis is to get someone in there who can tell a compelling story and attract kids there on a consistent basis. And in order to do that, you're going to have to do a nationwide recruiting search. If you go back when they had a lot of those good teams, look where a lot of those players are from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You go back over the last 10 or 15, 20 years, and look at the great players that they are, outstanding players there. A lot of them were from Texas, and so they've got to get someone in there who can consistently bring in good players.
They need a George Raveling present day, Coach. Come on, I mean.
Well, I don't know about that, but I think it's a difficult job, and particularly with Arizona doing the things that they've been able to consistently do over the years. One thing Frieda was able to do was he marginalized the rivalry a little bit because of his relationship with Lute.
Sure.
And the way he went about doing things in that. And so I thought from a public perception standpoint, he narrowed that perception gap a little bit. But it's a tough job to sustain. If you go back and look at most of those guys who coached there, very few of them I don't think any of them had won 65% of the games when they were there. So if you look at the data tells you it's a very difficult job.
Yeah, I mean, they're meeting today with Jeff Capel. Bobby Hurley's name is there. I think those are two guys that could be replacing Mike when Mike decides to retire. And I don't want to see somebody come here for 3, 4, 5 years and then move on. This job's, I think, is better than a stopover job at some point. And they're talking about a new facility. Are there people out there you look at and say this would be a good fit?
A guy that, interesting enough, that I would be intrigued at least to interview would be the guy at Cal Irvine. I mean, everybody is this year, incorrectly, everybody identified Kentucky as the tallest team in college basketball. It's totally inaccurate. The tallest team roster-wise in college basketball is Cal Irvine. And the guy does a great job of recruiting nationally and internationally. And I think one of the models that intrigued me is what Gonzaga does. Gonzaga recruits globally. And they've been able to totally dominate their conference. And basically, when you look at their team, they always have 4 or 5 guys who are non-American.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that if I were at ASU, I would look at recruiting on a consistent basis nationally, and I would also put my relationship webs out into the global communities and hope that I can get 2 or 3 guys from around the globe. I mean, three of I think the Sabonis starts with Gonzaga. So, and then they got the kid from Poland, the guards from Canada. So three of their big contributors are non-American.
Yeah, Russell Turner over at Irvine, and that is an interesting name. But I just wanted to pick your brain about it. I love seeing your tweets about coaching for success. And I'd recommend to the audience to check that out as well. CoachGeorgeRaveling.com. You can follow him on Twitter as well. And again, congratulations on going into the Hall of Fame, George. Appreciate the time and the visit today. Thanks.
Thank you. And I look forward to talking to you again. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks, Coach. It's George Raveling, one of the legends in the game. It's always good to catch up with him. He's like 77 now, I believe. And former head coach at Washington State, Iowa, USC. I wanted his view on the ASU job in March Madness as well. Paula Bovin is next. News and Notes, AZ Central Sports columnist. That's on the other side, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, we partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat.
You've
giving you the inside slant on the weekend's biggest stories. It's time for News and Notes with AZ Central sports columnist Paula Bovin. Here again, Brad Sesmat.
Every Monday, Paula Bovin, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist and my friend. Where do you want to start today? Are you still in March Madness mode? Are you ready to start looking towards the Diamondbacks, the disappointment of the Suns? I think a really good story tonight with the Coyotes playing Buffalo, two teams that are angling for the worst overall pick, and it's here in town. Where do you want to begin?
Well, all morning I've been consumed with the ASU basketball coaching search. So can we start there?
Sure. What do you got?
Well, just that so many more names were thrown out at me when I was in Los Angeles. I mean, there were the common names, but a lot more different ones coming up. Even guys like the Georgia State coach was coming up to UC Irvine's coach, to Syracuse's top assistant. You know, some of these are names that people are speculating on, and some of these are names I think that maybe that they'll give a little look to. So there were obviously the Lavins and the Passners and the Caples and all that stuff, but there were people out there who had some different ideas.
Okay, so Russell Turner agreed to an extension at Irvine, so he's not going anywhere, but you can always go back on that stuff.
So sure, absolutely.
Hopkins at Syracuse, I would make a call to him because you don't know what's going to happen at Syracuse long term. And even though he's in place to replace Boeheim, anybody who says, oh, well, he's going to stay there, you don't know if that program is going to get thrown in jail or not. So I'd make a phone call to him.
And, you know, I mean, people forget he's a modern day guy. He's got a lot of connections to California. And, he was about to take that SC job until Andy Enfield got in the picture. I mean, he was their top guy. So I think there's a lot of respect for him. And he's just a monster recruiter, which is really what ASU needs right now.
Okay, so I can tell where this conversation is going. This is going to be like you and I in Portland geeking out over college basketball, which is fine.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's where this conversation is going. So I'll throw some names, too, that I've heard. Obviously, you're more plugged in. You've been there. I've made some calls around. Dane Fyfe, the lead assistant at Michigan State to Tom Izzo, was the coach at IPUW, if I get that correct. You know the school that I'm talking about in
Indiana. Sure, yeah.
And he's been Izzo's number one guy. It's kind of like Capel. He's going through, maybe it's through Michigan State rehab, like Capel's going through Duke rehab.
Right.
But I've heard that is an interesting name, not just with Arizona State, but nationally to take a look at.
Right.
And I don't know, Izzo's coaching tree, I'd definitely make run, at least call. The thing with all these Duke guys is, Paula, don't you think they're coming here, Capel, Hurley, they come here, and when Krzyzewski retires in 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is, they're out of here. They're just out here to get the experience to replace Coach K. And not that I can blame them, but
right.
I'd rather have somebody here long term. You know where I'm coming out on these Duke guys?
No, I do. You know, the Capel one was really interesting out in L.A. because there were some people who couldn't believe ASU was looking at him. Like, they felt they could do better. They looked at his last 2 years at Oklahoma.
Yep.
And there were other, you know, and then they saw what Lon Kruger's done there. And then there are others who, you know, said he's getting a great recommendation from Krzyzewski, who thinks that, you know, he's going to be a long-term successful coach and he needed another opportunity and things, you know, he's a good recruiter, blah, blah, blah. So that LA people, and these are former coaches and just kind of basketball insiders who have been around a while, really split on him. That one was very interesting.
Yeah, and there's even a theory that Coach K would like to see him move on. So
yeah.
And Krzyzewski was selling Capel on the podium yesterday after it was all done. He went through about a 20-second soundbite. I don't know if you saw it or not, where it was how terrific and awesome and amazing he is.
Right.
But
right.
I think you and I...
Yeah, I heard about it. I didn't see it.
Yeah, it sounds like you and I are on the same wavelength here, that a week into this, it's not, or 6 days into this, there's nobody here that's really making me jump up and down and saying, oh my gosh. And my whole thing is aim higher, guys. If you really believe you have to have a coach come here to take some of the pressure off of Todd Graham with boosters fundraising, as I was told internally over at ASU by more than one person.
Sure, yeah.
Then you have to aim higher. And if Shaka Smart is only making $1.5 million at Virginia Commonwealth, don't tell me that, oh, well, we never get him. A recycle coach like Rick Barnes, he needs a break, man. 17 years after being at the same place, I don't want to turn around and hire him right away.
No, no. It's, you know, Barnes is, what, 60, and, you know, I don't think that's what they're looking for.
Yeah, so I don't know about you.
Oh, sorry, I lost you for a minute, Brad. But you know, the whole young, energetic recruiter guy, I mean, I kind of understand where they're going with that, but if they do that, they need to surround this guy with some really, really good assistants. So.
Well, here's the unfortunate thing about this. No matter who they get and who they bring here, that coach is going to be judged 3 years by now by his ability to keep or not keep or even have the number one player in the nation consider coming to Arizona State, because the kid is right here in our own backyard.
Yep.
I just had George Raveling on the air, and Ravs brought up and Miles Simon last week, same thing. It's funny how they know. Well, that job, you know, there's some great basketball talent going on in Phoenix, in the metropolitan Phoenix area, some amazing talent, you know, both these guys. So they know what's going on over at Corona with Bagley as the number one player in the nation. And, if you're not able to secure that commitment in your own backyard, and it's down the road 3 years, but it's there.
Right.
You can't let that one get out of your sights.
It's a difference maker, no question about it. And excuse me for jumping the topic, but I lost you when you were saying this before about aiming high. I just did a blog, too, and that was one of the things I wrote. Because, you know, Greg Marshall, Shaka, they're, you know, obviously they're mentioned with the Texas job and other things. But if ASU can find some boosters to buy out Herb's contract, which is basically what are saying happened, right? I mean, it's just saying it didn't come from ASU money. Is there more money to find to help them make a hire like that? Would a Marshall or, you know, would Shaka come out here for big money, or does it have to be other things?
What is big money? You know, what is big money? He's at $1.5 million. Is big money? Right. You know, I was with some big cigars the other day watching March Madness, and these are ASU big cigars, and they're talking right around $2 million, 2.2. Okay. Right. Is that enough? Is $700,000 more dollars to come out to a job that's not a great job as it's presently constructed? To come out here and maybe follow the guys before you into the grave, you know, that's...
Yeah, it's a fair question, especially when, you know, they're talking $3 million at Texas or something near there. I mean, it is a fair question. And do they believe they can win here? And do they believe that the university is committed to enhancing facilities? And the guy left, so, I mean... He's already flying on private planes everywhere. And
yeah, that's no big deal.
Has the Koch brothers as good support. So I think that one would be a hard sell.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking with Paula Bovin. That's not a big deal to these guys. Private planes and that stuff. I mean, that's. But here's what we don't know, okay? We don't know. We really don't. If Ray Anderson, who used the rocket ship phrase the other day.
Right.
If he is willing to pay money that is equal to or greater than his football coach. We can all say... There's no way he would do that. But we don't know. This is his first ever major hire. The baseball coach, that's not a major hire in my view. Baseball at ASU is important, don't get me wrong. But it's not near the revenue generator of basketball or football. So let's cut to the chase on this of people saying, well, they'd never do that. I don't know. This will tell me a lot about Ray if he just goes and gets the assistant, what he thinks of the program.
Well, yeah, and that'll be interesting because that has not been Michael Crow's MO. He believes in, you know, you don't break the bank for the coach, and this is the situation we're in. But I think he's also seeing the longer he's in athletics that there are reasons that the great basketball coaches are paid a lot of money. They win and they do it consistently, and that's a hard thing to do. And that's why Arizona was lucky they found that donor with that, you know, oil and gas stock option, whatever that was, that's going to pay Sean Miller and other people there a lot of money, because those are the kinds of things that lure coaches and help them stay.
Okay, one last thought on this. So the last 6 days, we've seen this Jerry Colangelo helping in the search or whatever, however they want to term it. I have a really hard time believing that from top to bottom, given what's gone on over in Tempe with USA Basketball, Jerry's involvement with GCU, with Michael Crow, those two going back and forth, that this has all been, this has just been a simple, hey, Michael, you should hire Jeff Capel. I just find that extraordinarily hard to believe that it's that cut and dry. Do I think Jerry may have suggested it with And he hasn't even got his USA Basketball project pushed through. And that's the other part of this. So everybody wants to say that this is all going to fall this way. I don't buy that. And I also don't think that – I think Ray could surprise all of us on this one. I mean, Alvin –
absolutely. I mean, you know, this guy has connections dating from his agent days, dating even from NFL days of knowing people. And, yeah, I think we could totally be surprised. And I know that they quickly poo-pooed the thing that it was, you know, this cable thing was offered and all but a done deal. So, yeah, it could go a lot of different directions. The Jerry thing is interesting. I mean, anytime he has an opinion, I would listen because he's so connected.
Sure.
But there were some people saying maybe this would help mend fences with ASU, trying to get his USA basketball facility built, blah, blah, blah. I can't imagine it's truly that deep. It just sounds a little odd to me.
Yeah, I mean, if that's really what it's going to take, is we're going to sacrifice our men's program from the best available candidate to hire somebody that you want to mend fences? Come on. That's illogical to me.
Yeah. No. I agree. It seemed a little strange. I'm sure there were some conversations, but probably got blown up into something that it wasn't. You know what I mean?
Okay, then before you go, what's your gut tell you about the job today? Who's going to get it?
I have no clue, Brad.
I'm right there with you. It's fine.
Give you an answer, but I hope and I think they will make being a good recruiter the priority. And I think he'll be young. You know, I mean, I think those are kind of the things that they're looking for. Maybe the name hasn't come out yet. I don't know, but I honestly don't have a good feeling of who it's going to be, and I'm sorry to disappoint you.
No, you're not, because I'm right there with you. I actually appreciate true and transparency rather than, well, let me just show you how smart I am and throw a bunch of names out. That doesn't do anything for me. So,
right. Thanks,
before you get out of here, last question. Sean Miller, Pac-12, Elite Eight, on the surface, great season. Pac-12 has not been to a Final Four since 2006. That's a long dry spell. Is there reason for concern that this conference can't get any further?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, it all comes down to the coaches in the conference and can they recruit well enough? And there are a fair amount of coaches that if they didn't lose their jobs this year, they're on the hot seat, you know, and maybe it's a reflection right now of where some of these coaches are and that they need to do better, because Miller's a recruiting monster, but I can't say there's a ton of others in the conference that are doing the same thing right now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think, I think maybe it's about the coaches and they have to do better in that arena.
I'll let you go off that. There's Paula Bova, News and Notes, AZ Central sports columnist. Appreciate her time for a couple of minutes. Take a break on the other side, much more, including some NFL stuff that has happened today. And why tonight you should actually go, if you're a Coyotes fan, you should go to the arena tonight and cheer for the other team. We'll have that on the other side, too. I'm Brad Sussmat, sports360az.com, AZ Central Sports. Getting pounded with all these mock drafts. I know it's a month away, 5 weeks away. But, you know, Twitter bait, that's it. It'll change.
Keep it consistent.
It's Jared's in today for Eric. It's fine. People want to pass time and go through this stuff. And it's millennials. Everybody's trying to chase millennials, you know, 18 to 34 year olds. You're in that demo. Are you into the mock draft thing 5 weeks before?
You know what? It does sucker me in sometimes, and then once I open it, I ask myself, why did I open it?
Why did I do this?
Because you'll open them up, and like I said, there'll be four or five different ones and four or five different players. And, you know, you just don't know how it's going to end up, and sometimes you get them right. You know, the NBA mock drafts, I think, are a little bit closer to being more accurate than the NFL ones from what I've found. But, yeah, I guess I'm definitely a sucker for it sometimes, but I always regret it.
Yeah, well, I dated a girl once like that too, so that's the way it goes. So you're a Wildcat guy. We've established that through the years.
Yeah, here we go.
And so Wisconsin hit 10 of 12 threes in the second half. Couldn't guard them. What's up with that?
Sometimes they weren't guarding them well. Sometimes they were hitting crazy circuit shots. I mean, I think Sean Miller compared it to a video game, their type of execution in the second half, and some of those shots that Sam Decker hit from the corner right by the Wisconsin bench with Gabe York draped all over him, or Hollis Jefferson draped all over him. You know, what can you do? You just tip your hat. I mean, 10 threes in one half. I think any team beats Arizona if they hit 10 threes in one half.
So was this a moral victory to get to the Elite Eight?
No.
Yeah.
No, no. I mean, I understand what Sean Miller's saying. You know, it was a great season. It was a lot of fun to watch. But this team's goal isn't the Elite Eight. I mean, I think even Sean Miller would tell you that.
Do you think that there are some U of A people that are feeling the unrest that I've heard from? Very few, very, very few that still live in this. It's kind of like the Frank Cush supporters. And I love Coach Cush. But even, you know, Frank Cush would have lost U of A this year down in Tucson. Like, are you kidding me? He's 2-1. Are you joking?
Yeah.
You know, it's like Sean and Lute. I think that there's some of those that, well, Lute would have got the team to the Final Four.
Okay, so I was at U of A the final year of Lute, Kevin O'Neill, Russ Pennell.
Well, you saw some bad basketball.
So I was there for probably the worst 4 years of Arizona basketball since Lute Olson joined the program.
Which would be about average for Arizona State.
Which
go
is,
ahead.
Yeah, well, you said that, not me.
No, it's true.
So the way I look at it and the way a lot of people I know that went to U of A look at this, they don't just because Sean Miller has not made it to a Final Four yet doesn't mean they hate the guy and doesn't mean they're looking for the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone who's a true U of A fan that watches all these games, every single game, even going back in November, not just when the tournament starts, knows that this is as good as they're going to get. And this is as good as it's going to get if they want to make it to the Final Four of the national championship. There is not another coach out there that if they lose Sean Miller, they're going to take a step back because the people that were there the 4 years that I were there know how hard it is to bring in a new coach and to have the type of success that Sean Miller has been able to bring U of A back to. Now, has he gotten to the pinnacle of where the program wants to be? Not yet. Can he do it? Yes, with the amount of talent he's brought in, and he just hasn't been able to do it
yet. But the numbers suggest 2006 was the last time a tournament team made it to the Final Four in the Pac-12.
Sure.
So that's 9 years. You know, he's getting to the Elite Eight, but for everybody that wants to bang on the Big Ten, and the SEC is not going anywhere with Kentucky, in my opinion, and the ACC is going to do their thing, is it just a simple matter of, look, there's only four slots. This is a really hard run. This is a gauntlet, and every year you should just be satisfied getting to an Elite Eight.
It would be demoralizing if U of A lost Sean Miller. It would be demoralizing. And
Jared, I have to believe the Lakers at some point. I've heard that from a number of people. The Lakers at some point are going to want him at Staples Center.
And I don't see him as being an NBA coach, but that's just me. But you know what? When you're a great college coach, NBA teams come a-knocking, and if U of A boosters, big cigars, whatever it is, are not satisfied with Elite Eights and are frustrated and want him out, they're oblivious, and they have no idea what they're talking about.
It's not that they want him out. It's just
They're frustrated. What else do you expect?
Any fan, at least those fans have some passion.
Yeah.
Okay? That's I'm fine with fans being upset today. You know, there was rioting again in Tucson. It might have been five people. I don't care. But, of course, everybody around Arizona State sending me the story saying, you're going to have video of that? You got to make sure you make mention of it. And it's like, guys, I don't play that game. here's the facts. The facts are your team didn't even make the tournament. So when you try to just look for something, anything going on in Tucson, it's Tucson. It's just a different deal. I mean, I don't care one way or the other. I thought they had a fine season. I thought T.J. McConnell, as well as he could play, was as far as they were going to go. I didn't think their bigs were as great as everybody made them out to be. You know, I thought they were fine. Fine. That's all. Fine. And so now this is over. They turn the page. Stanley Johnson will be a one-and-done guy. I think the biggest upset in the world would be him coming back in and saying, we're going to be here another year. Sean had a press conference in L.A.? I think Eric had the picture where Stanley was up on stage and Rondé was up on stage and that these guys are all coming back next year or something. These guys are going to be here all 4 years, I think is what Sean said. Something like that. That's funny. You know, it's funny.
All three of them are going to be gone. They won't be on this year's team.
They won't be there. And, you know, it's I feel like the way that it happened, that was one of the great shooting displays. If you can just if U of A fans could just take a step back and just breathe a little bit and understand you got beat by a better team that had a better shooting day. And oh, by the way, guess what? You do foul on occasion. It's one thing I saw out of U of A fans and U of A players, even especially Brandon Ashley, never fouled anybody. Just the hands on the head and the, oh my gosh, and the waving of the arms and oh my goodness. And we were playing against the officials and It happens. I don't know. It happens to everybody in the tournament. So rather than whine constantly about officiating, just accept the fact you lost. Okay? Be a big program. Yesterday, I'm watching the broadcast of the Gonzaga-Duke game. I have to tell you, I'm a little done with Jim Nance and Grant Hill, and I love Bill Raftery. I'm just a little done with the hyperventilating over Duke. Just a little over it, you know?
Thank you for saying that.
It's just like, I get it. It's the ratings monster that you guys want, and you haven't seen Gonzaga in person since this started, and... You know, Grant was not Grant Hill yesterday. Grant Hill, I can't believe what's going on. Oh my gosh, this is amazing. That's not Grant Hill. So trying to change him into a screamer and a yeller as an analyst doesn't work. And on top of it, it's a Duke guy. How can I not sit here and just be kind of nauseated with that? I feel much better now. Segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. My Santan Ford experience is like this. I lived out of my car this weekend. I mean, literally. I was club basketball dad this weekend. Was it Friday night? I've been so many gyms. Friday night, we were at a Y League in Mesa for my 10-year-old. Saturday, we had an early start at Apollo High School. And we had a late game at Apollo High School. Sunday, we had an 8 a.m. game at Apollo High School. We had a noon game at Apollo High School. So, I don't know, guys, when you have a vehicle and you're loading up the stuff for the day, and it's cool being club basketball dad. I mean, there's a lot about club basketball I don't like, I don't care for, but there's an awful lot I do like in spending time with my son and running around town and being at places and killing 4 hours at a greasy spoon diner in between games and driving around in the Ford Fusion Hybrid. Having a hybrid this weekend saved me a ton of money. Because in the way of gas, you go out and you burn through gas, you're driving 45, 50 miles each way for club basketball tournaments. That can add up in a hurry, right? So we were in the vehicle. We pulled into a nice shady spot to kill an hour and a half. He's reading a book. I'm taking a nap. We go to the game. That's what we do in our car. And we're in that space in life. I'm sure some of you guys are in there too, where you're going from point A to point B. The Ford Fusion from Santan Ford, the hybrid. Stop in for yourself. Check it out at Santan Ford, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Sports360AZ.com. AZ Central Sports. We partner with the Arizona Republic. I'm Brad Sussmat. Plenty of content up on our site right now, sports360AZ.com. We'll get you caught up some of the things going on in the world of sports on the other side. Stay with us.